Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, it's the Anfield Wrap. It's John Gibbons hosting this week. In for Neil Atkinson, who's still away. I think maybe he's left, but not told us. Just saw it gone. Now he is back there tomorrow. He's having a lovely time in the international break, getting some much needed rest, as are the Liverpool men's team at the moment, mostly. Trent's getting a belt of rest. Fair play to Gareth Southgate for that one. But we're not talking about Trent today. So last week, when Harriet hosted, she went through a little bit of the squad. So I'm going to sort of pick off, take the baton from Harriet, if you will, and talk about some others. So last week, if you didn't listen, the team focused on Virgil van Dijk, on Trent, on Thiago, on Mo Salah, on Luis Diaz, and then on Talk Live on Friday we had a bit of a chat about Darwin Nunes. So this time we're going to focus on Andy Robertson, Fabinho, Jordan Henderson, Harvey Elliott and Roberto Firmino. So they are the famous five we're going to talk about today. And joining me to do just that, I've got Abigail Woodkin, I've got Ian Ryan, and I've got Adam Melia. I nearly called you Adam Smith then. That's someone else.
The other one. We sometimes do, well, we're both called Adam, and sometimes our voices sound similar, I think, because people have said, oh, you said this on a show, and it's like, how is the other one?
if it's something clever, is you just claim it? That's what I do sometimes when it's Neil.
Yeah, with the over-the-water Adam voices. That was me.
Absolutely. Okay, let's start with Andy Robertson then. And I'll start with you, Adam, as we're having a nice chat. It'll sort of end up being a bit of a Chamikas chat as well, inevitably. Left-backs grouping together. But what have you made of Andy Robertson so far this season?
Tired, in a word. I think he's looked... To be fair, the group that you've bunched together today, which I suppose are the ones left, there's a few of them where I would say they've been... They've looked a bit like the travails of last season and the short pre-season and whatever it is we've done has impacted on them, and they've looked like they've been a bit like out of gas. And Robertson, I think, is probably the main one, and it's partly because he's been taken off early a few times, and I guess partly because we have Tsimikas there, so it may be slightly unfair to say that he's looked the tiredest. I don't know if he's looked the tiredest, but he is among that group that.
And it's something the manager or sports science team or whoever are obviously conscious of.
Yeah. So I think that they've been sparing him, which has been good, and he's also had a lot more to kind of adjust to with the loss of Mane. Because I think that I don't think that the team's hugely, you know, missed it. It's maybe been a bit exaggerated, but I think Robertson and Mane were such an amazing pairing, and that I think has taken away from Robertson's attacking a little bit. I think his defending's still been absolutely fine, and as I say, he's looked. Plenty good enough for me to be playing loads of games and winning loads of games for Liverpool this season. So he's not somebody that I've got a concern about. I don't particularly have a concern about any of our defenders, really. I think that we've got a good set of defenders there. You'd like a backup for Trent, but other than that, I think that we've got a really solid, enviable bunch of defenders there that any team would love. And Robertson's one of them still. And I think he's brilliant. He's one of the cultural architects. He's like in the spirit of the team. He's been there since the start of us becoming brilliant. And I've got no real concerns that I'd pick up on in terms of, especially in terms of his defending. I'd say that we've missed a little bit of the outlet. I think that's what I think as maybe dipped a little bit in terms of his in terms of his output. Other than his fitness levels looking a bit like they've dipped. I think that overlap the sort of the thing that you'd see so many times with him linking up with Mane and bursting past and overlapping on that left. That I think is something which you'd love to see. But I think yeah, Diaz plays slightly differently to Mane, and it's a link up that they haven't quite unpicked yet, I think.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm going to talk about Mane in that regard, because a lot's been made of the Mane sale, and you know, whenever we have a bad result, someone's like, oh, they're missing Mane, and I think it's exaggerated, but specifically for Andy Robertson, I think it probably is a factor, and I think Adam's, you know, wise to sort of to highlight that both ways. He got a lot of support from Mane, and Mane was a fighter. He was someone who was great at the press, and so would have protected Andy Robertson maybe a little bit more than Diaz is now, and that's not to have a go at Diaz, mm-hmm. because I don't think Diaz shakes at all, but Sadio Mane was just an elite level of defending as a forward, and also from an attacking point of view, you know, he's had his whole career with Mane in front of him, his whole Liverpool career. They went together at Celtic as kids, but you know, had his whole sort of Liverpool time with this sort of one player. It's inevitable he will miss him a little bit.
Yeah, it's a bit of a transitional period at the minute. I mean, I know people on Twitter will send you a picture of a team sheet from 3 years ago and say, well, it's not really that transitional because you've got the exact same players playing, or there'll be two different ones, like you'll have Harvey, or do you know what I mean? But I feel like Twitter and social media likes to make a big deal about things like Mane leaving. In my opinion, it is a transitional period and Robertson has got to get used to it. But when you think about last season, it took a massive toll on these players, the disappointment of the end of it. And you can see what it means to Robertson now. Like when you look at the players on the pitch that seem to like try and like galvanise the crowd a bit more at Anfield at the minute, it's Thiago and Robertson seem to be like, I feel like I'm getting told off by him half the time when he's going like that in the main stand. But It's just transitional, isn't it? Like Diaz will obviously be different to the way that Mane is, but to Miscas, I always say his name wrong. I mean, I'd seen him in town the other day and proper embarrassed myself, by the way, in front of Simicast. I went through the queue park with my mum. I'll just go off on a tangent.
No, I'm into it.
Basically, he pulled up sunglasses, cap, looking dead cool, puts his window down, parks right next to me. I go, Simicast, and point right into his car window. He looked at me like, you are a weirdo. And when we walked away, my mum literally said to me, you've made a show of yourself there. So now, like, anytime I talk about Simicast, the image of him looking at me like, you are a show, just keeps coming into my head. But
I lost my head when I saw me bull Molly at the match last night.
Did you?
So it happens, doesn't it?
My mum seen her walking down Moulton Vale the other day and texted me like, just walk past me, bull Molly.
It's exciting, isn't it? Famous people.
I know it is, definitely. But Simicast does a good impression of Robbo, doesn't he? Yeah. It feels like that's the side that I'm not really worried about. I mean, I know you can bring up Mane and the changes and all that, but I feel like when it comes to Robbo and Simicast, you sort of feel comfortable that side's more the other side. With Trent, where like my nerves go a little bit more recently, even with Gomez there. But Simicast is doing a very good impression, if not bringing more. But I do, in my opinion, I still start Robbo, and I'd let like Simicast come on and make a difference if it's not happening for us, which a lot recently it hasn't been. I mean, 9-0 against Bournemouth sort of tricked me for a little minute, going, oh, we're back, we're sound, you know what I mean? But that Napoli game, I was in Disneyland Paris, so I was trying to watch it on my phone with the lights going off in front of me, so I feel like I can't really speak on that game that well. I've tried not to watch highlights of it.
It's not one to watch back.
It's not one to watch back. Like, my dad's texting me, like, what's Gomez doing all that? And I'm just like, you're stressing me out. I'm trying to enjoy the Disney lights. The one game I miss, like, it was a shocker, so it was probably worth to miss it.
Yeah.
But sorry, with my tangents again, I've just gone off on a big story. But, yeah.
In terms of tiredness, both Abba and Adam have brought it up there, Ian, and you know, listen, they played a lot of money and blah blah blah, but you know, I think with Andy Robertson, we need to remember not just how many minutes he plays for Liverpool, which is a lot. He's dependable. He's always out there. But last season, where we played every game possible, then he goes then and then does a week for Scotland where he's captain in this doubleheader against Ukraine, which is to qualify for the World Cup, isn't it? Which is a big thing. In between, he had to book the DJ for the end of season part. You know what I mean? It's like he's, you know, Mr. Dependable. Do you know what I mean? He had a big year last year. I think the Scotland stuff, I mean, I've brought up on shows before, but I think it's a bit of being, you know, it takes a lot out of him as emotionally as well as physically. He's captain there. He's you know, he's the biggest name, you know, in the team and a lot of sorts of, and I know he puts on a lot of his shoulders. It's not a shock, is it, if he is feeling a little bit jaded?
No, I don't think it is. I think in terms of last season, I've not got the stats in front of me, but I think he plays probably less league games than I thought. I think it's around about 30-31, something like that. And I had it in my head that he played kind of most of them, to be honest. And he kind of does, I suppose, but he's not quite at the kind of 38 league game stage that one or two others get to. I just think they've definitely been worried about him, John, because I think, you know, everyone's alluded to it, the fact that they're taking him off on the regular. There's either something there around fatigue and they're very much aware of it, or maybe there's like an underlying issue and they're just being really, really careful with him. And obviously he's got the knee injury at the minute, or the alleged knee injury. I don't know whether that's something where they've just thought we could really do with not sending him away to Scotland duty. So he's obviously missed the international games. But I think there's been, I think, times this season where you've looked at maybe one or two of them and, listen, it could be fatigue, but you've looked at one or two and thought there's maybe not quite the desire to get in or get back or put your body in front of stuff. And I think that's been labelled at one or two. I've never really thought that with Robertson, to be honest. I don't think it's ever anything you could accuse him of not showing the required intensity or the required desire to kind of block something or put yourself in front of a shot or get back in when you need to. But I don't think his output or his form, like many others, has been at the levels you expect. And I think if you look at both fullbacks, and I know they covered Trent last week, but I don't think Trent's got an assist. And I think Robbo's got one. And that just feels incredibly low for those two footballers. So something's not quite right. And I think, you know,
have Trent got a couple in the moment game, didn't he? I'm pretty sure.
He scored, didn't he? I don't think he's got many assists. Maybe he's got one. I think Robbo's definitely only got one.
Obviously, because he came on and got them all, actually, wasn't he?
Yeah, so I don't think, and Bobby got loads that day as well. So I don't think there's been loads of output from an assist point of view from the fullbacks. And listen, you can look at maybe systems and things like that. But there's something not quite right there. But what I always like about Robertson, he doesn't shake it in terms of his interviews. I think he come out after Napoli and he talks about lads not backing each other up and not quite doing the things that they expect of each other. And I think, I'm sure the manager will have had words with lots of the players at different times, but you can almost imagine a scenario where at times Jürgen's probably leaving it to the dressing room and letting them sort some of this stuff out. And I think Andy Robertson will always be a player who will sort stuff out. I think he'll call one or two out if they need it. He'll say things that maybe others might not want to say. I think he'd have those uncomfortable conversations with his teammates if he needs to. So, you know, like Adam said, I've got no real issue with Robertson or any of them. I think they'll all come back and show us why we know they're exceptional footballers and in many cases world-class footballers. So I think it's just a case of maybe looking after Robbo a little bit, and I've got no doubt at some point you see the very best of him again soon.
Yeah, 8th on the Liverpool Premier League minutes last season, just had a little bit of a look. So Ian Dwight, it's 300 less than what Trent plays last season, so he's on 225 according to the Premier League website. 8th behind Alisson, Van Dijk, Trent, who's there in 3rd, Mane, who's now moved on, Joe Matip, which is a bit of a surprise, Salah and Henderson, he's behind there as well. He does have the luxury that Trent doesn't. I would imagine those 300 minutes difference, you know, are all being covered by Tsimikas. Trent didn't have that last season. This season we've signed someone who we haven't seen at all yet, so we don't know whether Ramsey's at the level of a Tsimikas or at least at the level of someone who's
given. Is he in training yet?
I think he's been knocking around town. I don't know if Abby's seen
parking next to Abby.
But I've basically seen pictures. People get pictures of him with thumbs up. So he definitely exists, but I'm not sure whether he's. Well, let's hope so, because, you know, we're here to talk about, you know, Robertson more, but from Trent's point of view, you know, having a backup of the level of Tsimikas, you know, can only help.
Well, yeah, and I think that the other thing you can't help but talk about it is because I think a lot of what we probably end up talking about today is balance, and there's such a big thing for the entire side, but yeah, specifically you know, specifically our fullbacks, because I mean, traditionally, I guess you know, if I'm playing footy 11 aside, the one fullback stays, one fullback goes, and that's not what Liverpool do. They both go, don't they? So, they need to do everything, and that's the secret of Klopp's success, isn't it? Is that, you know, you've got somebody like Firmino when he's in his pomp, he's basically an extra midfielder and he's up front. So I think the way that Klopp gets such good results out of his fullbacks is basically by running them into the ground, because they are up front and they are in defence. They need to do both, and if they can't, then he'll get another one, because that's it. That's what we need for our system to work. They need to be doing more, and that's been a bit of a concern this season in general, is that our running numbers have been down. I think we've been outran a few times, haven't we, in a few games, which sets alarm bells ringing if you've been watching Klopp's football at all. Basically, it is based on that intensity. So I think somebody said on one of the shows a while ago that playing for Klopp, it may be based on the thing Thiago said about Klopp teaching him how to run. Teaching him to run is that you know, your career as a Klopp footballer might not be as long as it is for playing for other managers that have got a slightly less intense style. And I think that built into that is this thing where we might have to accept that there is going to be kind of some throughput of players, you know, that we will kind of need to freshen legs up in the transfer market. And I'm, you know, it's no surprise, and I like the way we bring in young lads. I think that's a really good way to keep people on their toes in training. And it's, you know, we've seen that Klopp's not afraid to put them in. So I fully expect that we see this lad who's at the moment just in town. But I mean, walking outside is one of the things that they say when you're coming back from an injury. He's walking outside
it's a step up from the pool, isn't it? Do work in the pool.
I think the balance of the side is the thing which it's almost like a magic potion, isn't it? Because you don't you don't know exactly what it is. When things look unbalanced, it's just a fact. And I think that is one thing this season which the team, which when it works well, is greater than the sum of its parts. I think this season has looked like the sum of its parts, basically. I think it's basically looked as if these players are each performing at this level, and the team can't kind of get beyond that level somehow. So whether that's, I mean, I think I know where it is, and I think we'll come on to talk about midfield in a bit. But yeah, certainly the balance fullback wise hasn't looked like there's been enough there for either in legs wise or, you know, or technically, for them to offer all the things that we know that they can.
Let's talk about the midfield now. Abby, talk about Firmino, and it's interesting with Firmino. Adam there was talking about the fullbacks, and you know, is it systems not working, basically, that means they're being more exposed, or is it individual mistakes? And you could sort of make that argument for Firmino as well. There's times this season, and Napoli in particular, you'll have to take my word for it, that he looked very sort of exposed, and you're like,
I believe you.
Don't watch it back. But I'm watching it thinking, like, is Firmino a bit less mobile than what he used to be? Is he struggling to get about the pitch like he sort of used to? You know, it felt like he had the big long legs that it could sort of cover everything. So I was like, is his standard slipping a bit, or is the midfield, or not just the midfield, but particularly the midfield, such a mess that, like, he's got a bit of an impossible job?
I think it's the injuries around him more than anything. When you look at Henderson being gone and then Thiago being gone, in my opinion, Firmino plays better when Thiago's there.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time, you watch Firmino and it looks like he's trying to cover four people at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's where, like, we're giving him a bit too much of a hard time, because he's trying to do so much when he's got, like, younger lads around him, like Elliot, which we're going to come on to eventually. I feel like he's got to cover quite a bit in that way. But the midfield itself at the minute is a mess. But I think there is a plan there. I mean, I know I'm sort of, like, going away from Firmino there, but, like, obviously Fabinho's, like, a world-class player. And a lot of the time for me last season. He was like the first name on the team sheet for me. I feel like everyone's tired and everyone's deflated from what happened last season. And I know they say like, oh, like move on, new season. I still haven't. Like I'll still sit there and think about like standing on Annie Road with my dad, like watching like the players, like you've seen the video, Matip being like, hey, what's the score what's in the score, City game? Yeah. Like that's probably still in the back of their minds of what's happened and they'll be shattered. They played like what, 60 odd games, the maximum number of games. I mean, I know we are giving them a bit of a hard time, like as like an overall squad, but the injuries, it's the season that like we do not speak of from a couple of years ago when we didn't have Virgil, where the injuries absolutely killed us. But this season in general is going to be a weird one anyway. Like obviously with like the passing of the Queen and we've had this break, we didn't play Chelsea, do you know what I mean? And then we've gone into the international break now, which if it was up to me, there wouldn't be one because we're not really into international football. When it comes to international football, I'll check like how's Trent done, which he's not playing now, do you know what I mean?
Big Verge scored though.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Nice. I'll check that. I'll check things like that. But apart from that, I'm not really bothered about it. So when the World Cup comes around, there's going to be a massive break. Maybe like it's going to be like a new pre-season for the players who aren't going, like yeah. like Salah, which I know he's absolutely devastated about. And as you were saying, stuff like that's probably still in the back of their minds. So when it comes to Fabinho, it's tiredness for me and it's having too much to do with the injuries around him. And then obviously what happened last season still haunting me in my sleep, so I can imagine it's haunting them as well.
Fabinho will go to the World Cup. It looks like he's in the Brazil squad. Doesn't always play, but solidly sort of in that squad. So he's got a long season ahead of him. You know, how best do we protect him? Do you think, Ian, and how do we, you know, get the best out of him if indeed you don't feel like we are now?
I think it's difficult, John, because I think for me it was always obvious that we were maybe a little bit light in the midfield area, and it's not speaking, you know, after the event, because
yeah,
I think most people said the same, and it's transpired that way. You know, they're a little bit light in there, so I think more often than not you want to be starting Fabinho. I think the manager would have the same mindset, so I think it's difficult. I mean, there's obviously the diddle where you can put Henderson there. He plays it slightly differently in terms of that number six, so you could go kind of double pivot, I suppose. I think he really enjoys playing with Thiago, and I think you've seen the very best of him when those two have been playing in the same team. We saw it towards the end of last season, we'll be going that run, and getting them two on the pitch has been a little bit difficult as well. I think when you think about Fabinho and how he's done this season, I don't think you can shy away from the fact that he hasn't been great. I just don't think he has. I think there's definitely some system stuff in there as well where he's having to do too much and he's been a little bit overexposed at times, and therefore it's maybe looked a little bit worse at times because he's had to maybe try and cover a bit more ground and Liverpool are leaving gaps. But I don't think he's playing well either. I think even in the first game, you take it back to Fulham, he gets dragged on 58, something like that. He comes off, he's not having a good game, but none of them are either, by the way. He could have picked lots of them that day. So I think there is something in his form, and also the system's not doing him any favours at the minute. But again, you know, with lots of these footballers, you just keep coming back to the fact that you know what the levels are. Mm. You know what the true levels are. Fabinho has been an absolute standout for this Liverpool team. You know, there's been times where if you're picking the best defensive midfielder in world football, he is at the top of your list.
Well, Neil's got him in his all-time Liverpool 11.
I mean, that's a shout, but you can understand, you know, given what he's done. You know, I remember when he kind of joins the club and there's that little adjustment period for him. But then after that, he is one of the first names on the sheet. Mm. He's that good. He's that important. But I just think there's been signs this season where you can just see he's not quite at his best, where he does look a little bit leggy. And I think fatigue is maybe a thing for some of these midfielders, because one thing the manager asks of these players, and certainly in the middle of the park, it's to put in a massive shift. And the intensity has been there over a number of years now, and you can just see that maybe falling away a little bit. But when you keep asking these lads to go again and go again and go again, I think there is a tipping point for some of them. And I think in midfield, you may be seeing that a little bit. But as I said before, I think if they look after him properly, and that's difficult because of the lack of numbers in there at times, yeah. But if they can look after him properly, and you hope he doesn't really feature too much for Brazil, I know he'll want to play, but from our point of view, if it's just training, which will obviously be intense, but if it's just training, not too many matches, you're hoping that he can come back and find that form that we know he's capable of, because there's no doubt about it, John, Liverpool are a far better team and Fabinho's at his absolute best.
Yeah, I don't know how many minutes he's got in the week for Brazil. They play again Tuesday night. There isn't the travel this time, so that's a sort of positive. But it feels to me, Adam, you know, he is going to be a really big player for us in this next period now, running up to the World Cup. The games are thick and fast. Like Ian says, if you can rotate a little bit, then you'd like to between him and sort of Thiago and Henderson, just keep them all sort of as fresh as possible. But big games, you want him there.
Absolutely. And he's the one, I think, which the manager will continually turn to in an almost apologetic way. I feel like sorry, lad, it's another massive game, because that's the situation that we find ourselves, is that we've got a series of massive games. Every league game is an absolute must win. And Fabinho is the one where it feels like the weight, not that the weight of the world's on his shoulders, but everything kind of does fall on him and that position. He's the one where the midfield has been stripped of certain things, and I think that is obvious when you sort of see that at certain times this season he's kind of being passed around, and it is the lack of balance and the lack of bodies has been the thing that has been exposing him, and I think probably. Certainly he's looked he looked better as soon as Thiago came back. Everybody looked better as soon as Thiago came back. So there's that is the positive, is that we are moving towards a place where it looks like we will have some more people to back him up. But I don't know. To be honest, it's an alarm bell for me. We're going to talk about Henderson and Elliot, and in different ways there's just like alarm bells ringing, where I think, you know, just I suppose context wise and I feel like I always talk about this, but maybe I don't, so I'm just going to talk about it now. The context is that when Wijnaldum left, we lost a massive amount of minutes. I thought at the time, and I'm sure there's recordings of me saying it, that it was sort of borderline negligent not to replace him when he left, just based on the minutes, not based on kind of the quality of the player, which I think is debatable. And since he's left, it's been probably definitely debatable. But the fact that we didn't get somebody in that could do some of those things and perform in a robust way and be available, it was at the time I thought gonna leg us up last season. As it turned out, last season we have a sort of borderline miraculous injury record for certain players. Matip is not midfielder, Henderson, Thiago, are available more than they generally have been in their recent career, I would say, last season. I hate to make it seem as if the club are daft, because I'm sure they're not, but it sort of lulls us into a false sense of security as a fan base, and I hope that it doesn't lull the club into a false sense of security where they think, oh well, We didn't actually need those minutes as much as we thought we were probably going to, with Genie going. And so that, as I say, I think it was borderline negligent not to replace him last summer. The fact that we haven't replaced him this summer is not borderline. It is negligent, I think, because it may be that the rest of the season passes without a hitch, injury wise, in that department. I think even if it does, it's still not great for me. It's still that there's gaps there, and there's things that I would like to do. And I think that with more permutations, with an extra person in there, an extra good player in there, we could already have more points on the board for me. Mm-hmm. So even if we do have go the rest of the season with the same really, really good injury record that we had last season, which hasn't been the case so far, then I still think it was negligent. But I feel like there's an alarm bell ringing, which is that there's no reason to say we're through it. You know, injury wise, Abby mentioned it before, the season where everything goes to pot.
It can't get any worse.
It can't get any worse, exactly. And I feel like it felt like it was quite stop start then too. I suppose it was maybe stop start because of the kind of the context of the world of you know, there was some fans allowed in, then they weren't, and then they were, and then they weren't. But I feel like that this season, there's been little reminders of that season already this season, and I just think there's no, as I say, I think probably as you've said, just that's the best way to put it, John. It, just because you think it can't get any worse doesn't mean it can't.
Yeah.
It is a concern. I've got a low level alarm ringing all the time.
Let's Jordan Henderson. Come on, let's get into it. I'll start with you, Abby. He's possibly the most divisive player we have. I have no idea where you sit on the Jordan Henderson scale. This is fun for new people. Let me know.
I swing back and forth. I have an uncle who's very anti-Henderson.
Everyone
and then I have a dad. Yeah, but you do. Everyone does. Everyone's got an uncle knobhead anyway. You're probably listening to this now, who she's speaking about. But then, like, my dad on the other scale has taught me very much loyalty to things. Like, I'm, like, even talking about, like, bringing Tsimiskas in instead of Robbo and all that, I'm so loyal to Robbo in my head that when it goes to like Henderson's agent and stuff, I know he's just done a documentary that's like Henderson's never finished and stuff, and in my mind he's not, but I think he'll eventually start to move into a bit more like a Milner role, less minutes and stuff, but at the minute with the injuries that we've got, we sort of need him because like the whole midfield's made out of crisp and everyone just seems to be getting injured. But I know we're going to go on to Harvey, but like Harvey isn't Henderson, and Henderson is sort of like not like built for this, but because we have won the Premier League and the Champions League with him as captain, like he sort of knows what he's doing. But last season, I just think everyone's absolutely knackered, and that's why the injuries are catching up on us. I wouldn't be surprised if last season, like I'm sure, didn't Thiago end up like getting, like before, was it the Champions League final or something? He got injections for pain and...
Well, he's basically like doing a session on the pitch before the final, isn't he, to see if he can play or not, which like just isn't ideal.
Yeah, and I feel like right up to that game, like all the midfield was knackered and everyone was sort of in that situation, and Henderson's obviously pushed himself to the limit and injuries are never good. Obviously, like we know that from that season that we were talking about. But I, on the Henderson scale, I'd stick with him, but we need signings now. It's sort of like time for that transitional period. Like in January, I wouldn't mind signing like a Bellingham, which is probably never going to happen. But all that talk about sending Arthur Melu, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
I think it is. Sending him back and stuff, I feel like that's a lie. I don't think Klopp's the type of person who brings someone in last day of like the transfer window at the last minute.
Yeah.
Like I thought, oh, we're not signing anyone. I went to go and watch Chris Rock in the Echo Arena come out, and I was like, who the hell? Like I was literally like, what's going on here? Like I'm off
and out. I love it when stuff happens in mad situations. It's almost like harder to believe.
It just seems to happen to me. Like go to Disney, we lose to Napoli, and then like walk out to the Echo Arena, and like we've signed Arthur Miller, which I never thought was going to happen. But I am a fan of Henderson. I need to like not listen to like my uncle who tries to like push his he calls him the luckiest man alive, and I just don't agree. Like I like him, do you know what I mean? But yeah, I'm in the middle. I'm in the middle of sort of progressing past it, but he's an amazing captain. Do you know what I mean? Everything that he's done for us. But I feel like we're a whole team full of captains, like we really are. Like you look at Robbo, Virgil, like there's so many of them could be captain, like Thiago, obviously we were saying before, even Alisson. Like all these players could be captain. Not that I'm taking it away from Henderson, saying like, oh yeah, anyone could do what you do, but for Henderson to stay captain at the minute when we've got all those people sort of shows how vital he is.
Yeah.
And then Milner, obviously, like even if Milner goes at the end of this season, I'd like to keep him on as like backroom staff as well. And I sort of hope the same for Henderson in the long run. I mean, Andy Robbo's this week said he'd like to finish his career at Liverpool, and because I'm so loyal to these players, I want all of them to want to finish it here. That's like Sadio Mane's really broke my heart, really.
We're talking there about Henderson, you know, and how Abigail's sort of referring to him there as someone who, you know, should be, I guess, you know, we should be more careful with his minutes than what we've allowed ourselves to be. And I think from watching him this season, I think there's certain games where he might not have been anywhere near if it wasn't for the fact that others were injured. And I do sometimes, and this is me maybe, you know, with my loyal hat on, because I think Henderson's great. I think he's been a brilliant player for Liverpool. But there is some players in history maybe who won't go out on the pitch when I think he would. And I think he'll always get himself out there. And that injury that does happen was just looked to me like it was waiting to happen, really. I don't know. I understand some of the criticism, and I get where people are coming from on certain things, but I just always want him fit, and I always want him around, and I don't think there's a situation that can be improved by having Henderson at least as an option for me. And but I don't know what you think.
No, I wouldn't disagree, John. I think he is a player who you could never accuse him of not putting his body on the line. Yeah. And there's been countless games where you've seen him take a knock, and he's kind of, you know, in some big football matches, by the way, as well, where he stayed on the pitch because
that's the one
I'm thinking of. Yeah, he just wanted to let the side down. And I think everything that night points to him having to come off, but he didn't want to come off because that's the kind of, you know, that's the kind of fella that he is. And I think, you know, on the pitch, he's been nothing short of outstanding over his time for the club. And I think off the pitch, you know, maybe he's hit even higher standards at times, to be honest. He certainly comes across that way. But I do think there's something in, maybe his powers are fading a little bit. And I don't think, maybe you want to see him all the time now. I think there are games where maybe Liverpool could do with something slightly different. But that said, though, there has been times this season where you think, I could have done with Henderson on the pitch for a little bit longer there, because he's not, I think he's played in most of the games. Obviously he doesn't play. Is it Everton he misses?
Henderson's out for Everton.
I think he's featuring he's featuring in all the other league games other than that. I think not always finished them. I don't think he's finished that many this season actually. So again, you're maybe looking at, is there a fatigue issue there? He plays probably a lot more than I thought he would last season. You know, I thought they might manage him a little bit differently. Maybe you'd expect him to have maybe one or two more injuries, because he has been a player who's picked up more and more injuries over the years. But he ends up playing a lot of football last season. I think
he's more.
Is it only Alisson now? Is it only Alisson?
In terms of like numbers of appearances, I've got to be, I think, seventh on minutes in the Premier League. But in terms of number of appearances, he's number one for Klopp in his managerial career.
Yeah, and I think actually last season he goes on and has a good season. I was a little bit concerned at the start of the season, and don't get me wrong, there are games where he performs really, really well, but I think there was a period at the beginning of the season where he just didn't look himself. And even though there were those kind of green shoots, I was thinking, I'm not quite sure about Henderson's level here. It doesn't quite look as influential. But that said, John, I keep coming back to, you know, what you just said at the beginning of this kind of segment. You want him in and around the place. Yeah. You still want him as an option. Mm-hmm. I think he gives you loads off the pitch as well. And some people will sometimes dismiss that a little bit. And kind of class it as a bit of a cheerleader role. It just isn't that. You know, anyone who's been in dressing rooms at any level knows that you've got to have those figures, you've got to have those people, standards. You've got to have people who set standards and set the tone. And you can see how much the manager relies on some of those players. And listen, they might not always be the most aesthetically pleasing on the eye. They might not get loads of goals, they might not get loads of assists, but the manager sees them performing a job and a function that's critical to this Liverpool team, and it's been critical to this Liverpool team across the success they've had. So that can't really be argued. But what I would say, at the age of maybe, what is he now, 31, comes to 32, something like that, I think Liverpool have to be looking at what comes next. Yeah. Now, they've given him a big contract last year for 4 years, which, again, at the time I thought, not sure I would have given such a big contract at that age, given maybe some of the injuries. But maybe the manager's looked at it and gone, you know what, he's so important.
He was so keen, wasn't he?
He went kind of the extra mile. They need to get that done. So, I mean, you've got to back the manager on those decisions, I guess. But I do think the club now need to be thinking what comes after Jordan, because, as I say, he's at that age where he's picked up a number of injuries and he's in his early 30s, and you think, well, it's probably not going to get loads better. There's probably going to be times where, and obviously he's been out recently, but ends up getting pulled into the England squad. So I'm interested to know what they do next. And, you know, back to Adam's point as well, just felt a little bit negligent not to do something in the summer, because you knew there was these players with one or two problems and stuff. But as I say, John, you'd always want to see his name in and around the squad, because, let's have it right, he's been nothing short of outstanding across his time for the club.
Where are you on the scale from Abby's uncle to Abby's dad? The famous Henderson scale that is used.
I really like Henderson, and I feel a bit sorry for him in a similar way to a few players. I think that they've as you say, I think he's been playing with an injury, and it also falls foul of the same thing I was saying when we were talking about Fabinho. Basically, we should have got another midfielder last summer, and then he would have played less minutes last summer, and the new midfielder could have bedded in, and then this summer Milner could have gone, Henderson could have become Milner. So that's probably what I think should have happened. As it is, just on pitch wise, I think that lots of things have been covered. I think the one thing that people haven't mentioned is that I have often said, so sometimes when Henderson's been like in the doldrums reviews wise, and ends up not playing, I think you can see when he what we miss when he doesn't play, or you have been able to for the past few years, and it's off the ball stuff. You can't see it on telly, and I sort of think that that's why he gets a bit unfairly criticised by people that maybe aren't at the match. But he is he allows Trent to play. Trent's numbers, insane numbers of assists would not exist if it hadn't been for Henderson being on the pitch at the same time as him for the past few years. I think he allows Salah to play too. That trio that we've had on the right for the past few years has just been an incredible thing. And Henderson's the one who's the workhorse of that side of the pitch. And I think he doesn't get the credit he deserves off the ball wise. I think he is slightly limited on the ball, and that's what, you know, there'll be clips of him trying to play an adventurous pass and it not working, which happens to every footballer. And I think we've had players in the past that get called crabs because they don't try adventurous passes. So I think he's no Thiago style technician, but I think he is certainly, he's been good enough because he's backed it up with such an amazing off the ball, output, and the amount of ground he's covered, the number of positions he can drop into, and I think that this is where I'm sort of heading with this, is that having seen that for the past few years and thinking, oh, without Henderson we've got no tempo, blah blah blah, I think this season I've thought that when he's been playing. Yeah. And that's my concern, really, is that we've, despite the fact of him being there more often than you maybe think, the things that he traditionally has offered have still kind of been lacking.
Yeah, I take your point on that, because I remember, funny enough, not so much the Napoli game, which was a bigger disaster, but obviously the Merseyside derby, I was thinking, oh, I wish we had Henderson out there today. But then I did think there's been plenty of the games where he has been, and this sort of stuff hasn't happened.
When you think about, and I think you could label it or level it at lots of them, they're making quite poor decisions at times, and certainly in the middle of the park. And you think back to the game at Old Trafford, and Henderson's got a decision to make about what he does. He can just pull the lad down and cut that issue straight out, which I think leads to the second goal. And he doesn't do it. And there's other instances as well. I think there's one where maybe Trent and Fabinho can make different decisions against Crystal Palace, and they allow Eze just to wriggle free and play a ball. And I'm just thinking, they're not making the right decisions. So there's poor performances across the team at times, or certainly they're dropping below levels that you expect. But then their decision making as a team and then as individuals has just not been at the standard you expect. You would think that'll sort itself out, John, you know what I mean? You think that actually, you know, whether it's on the training pitch or whatever, or just lads just kind of refining the form again.
I thought it
again.
Was better in the Ajax game. He had, like, Thiago and Jota being on the pitch. Suddenly we had people who were making good decisions.
Yeah. Thiago, and I don't think you don't want to write players off, because they can have a habit of just proving you wrong again. And these lads have got to the very top of the game. So sometimes you can think a player's done and dusted and he just finds himself again, and he's able to come back and he's able to kind of maybe do things slightly differently, but still be a force and still be of use to the team. So,
and Henderson's the ultimate example of that. You know, you talked before, Ian, that he didn't start last season that well, and I agree with you, but then he that performance at Old Trafford and
Goodison,
the one at Goodison, which are both before Christmas, are like, you know, when he does eventually retire, you know, when you look back at the best Henderson performances, those two are up there.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
He is that kind of player. Stick with you then, Ian, Harvey Elliott.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of chat recently about Harvey Elliott, and I think it's been really interesting. You know, we touched on it a little bit on various kind of shows before games, and we did a midfield show as well. And I think he's a player who I think has performed to a pretty good standard as an individual. I don't think there's many games where you're thinking he's not done well, but I think there is this conversation around what he does to the balance of the team, and I think some of that is fair, because I think it's slightly altered the balance of the team. And when we talk about maybe people having to do a little bit more work in defensive areas, it's probably getting used to Harvey and how he's playing the role, as opposed to maybe how Jordan Henderson will play the role. And I think there has been games where you're thinking, could have done with Henderson there just to do a bit of covering, and some of the stuff Adam mentioned there about just getting back in. And listen, Harvey's a young lad, so and Jürgen knows his game, by the way, so it's not necessarily a criticism of him, because the manager's obviously trying to evolve the team a little bit, and we're playing in a slightly different way. I think the challenge for Elliott will be, if he's going to come into the team and he's not able to offer you, say, some of the protection that maybe others can, and listen, he might get to the point where he can do, because I say he's a very young footballer, but if he's not able to do some of that, then what people will look at, they'll look at output, and they'll look at things like goals, and they'll look at assists and things like that. And again, it's a very small sample, because we're only, what, 6, 7, 8 games in, if you want to count the Champions League stuff as well. He's got the goal against Bournemouth, but I don't think he's got any assists. And I think if he's going to play in that role where he's maybe a little bit closer to the forward players, and he's looking like he's one who you're thinking he's going to have to affect it, maybe final third, then I think he's going to have to start backing up some of his displays that have been quite neat and tidy with numbers as well. And I think that's where it'll be interesting, because there's no doubt he's not quite at the level of say, a Henderson in terms of allowing Trent to be a bit more free. But I think sometimes with some of this, people will always look at numbers and stuff. And I know, you know, we're not necessarily talking about Trent, but because his performances have been quite poor and he hasn't got quite the output as well as he normally has, people are more likely to go and look and maybe dig a little bit deeper into what he's doing defensively. And I think that's something Harvey's got to be aware of. You know, if it's not quite happening for him in the final third and he's not quite getting the assists or the goals and stuff, if he's going to play in that more advanced role, then you've got to see the stuff that's going back the other way as well. But I think Liverpool have got a very, very talented footballer on their hands. I think he will, for me, be a midfielder. I don't think he's got quite the pace to operate in the forward line. And I think there was a debate maybe when he first came to the club, you know, where will he be? Where will his future be? I think it will be in a midfield role. But I think there's all the ability there. Mm. There's all the talent there. You know, you see him in that first half against Bournemouth where, and I know the opposition's not quite at the level that you'd play on a regular basis in the Premier League, but he's full of vigour, he's full of drive, he's kind of popping up all over the pitch. And I really loved his 45 that day. It was a shame he had to come off. But you need to see more of that.
Yeah.
And you need to see more of that in the bigger games. And I think there are some challenges for him where, you know, he's not big physically, is he? So I think sometimes it can pass him by a little bit. But I think he's won the manager backs. I think he's one the manager really, really likes. And I think they've put a lot of trust in him. You know, people will often refer back to that game at the San Siro where it doesn't quite go well for him after the injury. But the fact that the manager's willing to put him in, the fact that he's willing to put him in that game of football, it says a lot about what he thinks of Harvey Elliott. And I think they're really excited about him. But I don't think Liverpool have quite got it right yet from a system point of view that allows him to flourish and allows the team to flourish as well. And that's something they've got to be looking at.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, Abby? Because the last game against Ajax, he plays a little bit more withdrawn.
Yeah.
And he's obviously, you know, thinking about himself, I need to basically do a bit more midfieldy things when I'm playing in midfield, which shows his intelligence and shows he's conscious of the conversations going on around him. But I also thought it took a lot out of his game, out of his natural game. And so it is finding that combination, isn't it? And he is still a young lad, as Ian just says there. So this will come with time, as I think his output will as well, because that always happens to footballers. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're in the situation now where if you're starting for Liverpool, we need a certain performance from him. So it's tough, isn't it? Because you need him doing certain things if he is going to play centre mid, but also you don't want to take away his natural game and what he is so good at.
Yeah, I feel like the Ajax game was the one game where I thought he was all right, you know, like I thought average rating there, whereas before that he was probably the player that I was walking away from the games where we've struggled and I've gone, at least Harvey looked bright.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Harvey was everywhere, like you were saying, like at least Harvey looked like he was arsed, was basically what I was saying. And I mean I know the conversation where everything keeps coming back to Trent and like people acting like he didn't look like he was trying and people will clip things up, but Harvey, you know what I mean, I could put a little compilation together myself of the start of this season of like everything that he's done. But that Ajax game, he was probably about a five for me. Yeah. Probably he did look like he'd slowed down a bit, but no, his age as well that he's doing it. But when you think about before he picked up that injury, you could see Klopp was starting to have faith in him and started wanting to try and put him in a bit, but got to try and make sure that he stays fit as well. That's another thing. But yeah, he is. He's doing great. I mean,
just on him, John, as well. Sorry, Abby.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, just on him, you've got to be. They've got to be careful with his age as well. It's almost a little bit unfair sometimes that you feel like he's having to play.
Yeah.
And it comes back to some of the conversations we had at the start of the show, but he is so young, and we've all seen footballers who've been, you know, overplayed at times at a young age. And I don't think this was one of my issues at the start of the season. I don't want to have to rely on a 19-year-old kid who's not yet at a level where he can play every single week. And I feel like Liverpool have done that to themselves a little bit. And I think
I don't people who are too young or too old.
I know, exactly. And I think, you know, it's a little bit unfair on him. So there probably are times where he should have played and then come out of the team. But because of the situation, he's playing and then having to go again. Because, as Abby said, you know, he's been probably, during some of the poor performances, he has been a bit of a standout, and that shouldn't necessarily be the case for a 19-year-old kid. You know, should be looking across to his peers and thinking, well, you know, you should be kind of looking after me a little bit here. So I think that's something they've just got to be really conscious of, not overplaying him. You know, he's had the bad injuries, come back from that, but you know, young footballers need looking after.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's gone.
So I was just going to say, I do want us to give the young players a chance, but at the same time, it is a bit negligent when you're, like, not investing in the midfield a bit. I'm not the type to criticise, but I do know what you mean. Like, it's great to give Harvey his chance, but at the same time, we should still be trying to develop. And, like, in January, in the summer, we should hopefully be trying to bring people in, you know, and try and build it up a bit, because you shouldn't be relying on a 19-year-old. Like, what was that tweet? I don't know whether it was Harvey or Carvalho. I can't remember which one's older, but it was like Milner had been playing Premier League football, like, before Harvey was born, or, like, the same amount of time he's been alive. Like, and then there was times where they were playing next to each other, and you just think, like, if we're going to challenge for Premier League titles like Man City, we shouldn't have, like, someone as old as Milner and someone as young as Harvey to rely on.
Lads, you played with Bobby Clark's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, maybe not the best. It's funny with when people come to work for the Anfield Rap Adam, I often warn them that it's a lot more boring than you think it is.
Yeah.
And when I look at Harvey Elliott, I sort of feel like that. It's like, you know, this is all well and good. Central Midfield's quite dull, you know, right? Well, yeah. Maybe he needs to watch some Gini Wijnaldum videos.
No, I was just thinking the same thing, John, is that I'm not convinced that our midfield should be exciting. I don't really know. Basically, I'm not. I feel like that. It's interesting, actually, and I hadn't sort of thought of it before. That what Abby said. Although I agree, he was one of our best performers in the early part of the season. It was during the games where I was mainly thinking, I didn't see much of Salah, and I think that this is...
Yeah, well, Abby uses the word bright there, and yeah. I'm like, well, that's great, but maybe he just needs to be a bit duller sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's picking the opportunity, it's knowing the moments, and that comes with experience. Yeah. You can't just hand him.
I know, and I do think that, you know, we talked about it right at the start with Robertson, and I was saying I'll sort of come on to it later, because I think probably, balance-wise, it is where he's playing, and I don't want to pick on him personally. I think that this position has been probably the issue, because my main thing that this season has been burning me head out is Salah not being involved, and so if we're taking things away from Salah to let, you know, to let Elliot develop, then that's upside down, isn't it, for me? You know, by all means, this is, you know, he's had a setback last season, and he's looked brilliant before the injury, and he's looked brilliant at times this season, but we need to be bedding him in a more measured way, and as Ian said, it's our last to ask him to be playing all the time for us and for him, really. You know, I'd have him playing every, you know, if we could play Bournemouth every week, I'd have him playing every week, but, you know, I don't want him away at Old Trafford, I don't want him away at Napoli. You know, he looked like he had really short legs at Napoli for some reason. He looked like he was, you know, physically looked young and small, which you don't want them exposed to that sort of thing. And I think the system, as it's looked this season, you know, sort of higgledy-piggledy, and with people blowing, and I do think it's sort of the key to it, the key to unlocking it, is probably that position, unfortunately. And so, yeah, I think that him looking a bit duller against Ajax, as you say, John, is the start of it for me, and I think he can be involved. There's nothing to say that he's not sort of the physical specimen that we need, because, you know, we've got Thiago there too. You don't need to be huge and athletic, but you do need to know what
command
to
the space.
Do. Yeah, command the space. Yeah, yeah. So I think that you know, without picking on him, I think that there is an issue there, which I think is what I hope we've been working on during this massive long break.
Massive long break. Okay, we'll finish off on Bobby Firmino. I'll start with you, Abby, because you said before about Bournemouth sort of lulling us all into a false sense of security, and I think that's probably right, but I think that's maybe the case for Bobby as well. You know, he scores a couple that day, creates a couple more, and you're like, oh yeah, we could get a really big season out of Bobby this season when we weren't expecting it, and then it transpires they were just shite and not really trying.
Yeah, definitely. But I still think Bobby's got an important role to play. Like, if it was up to me, I'd still give Bobby a new contract.
Would you?
I would. Like, I mean, I don't know what you all think. I'd still give him one, even if it's like at a reduced sort of rate. Because you look at the players like Naby and like Chamberlain and all players like that who aren't really playing, who are on like big wages. I don't know what Bobby's on, but like, I'd happily give him, if he's willing to take it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'd give him maybe like a, I don't know how they work really, like a play as you play or something. I'd still keep him because I just feel like he's really important because we've got Jota, who's injury prone, and I absolutely love Jota, and if we had like Jota and Bobby, I'd probably play Jota, but I just feel like it's really important to keep Bobby there. But I do have a loyalty issue, and like with things changing so quickly and like Mane going, I'm still already thinking about it, and then the idea of Bobby going and things like that are still in the back of my mind. But then you've got Nunes, who still needs time to bed in. I don't know what his attitude's like, but after what happened with the red card, it's sort of like he's still needs time to learn the Premier League and sort of bed in, and Bobby's sort of there and knows what to do. I mean, I know it sort of fell off a little bit now, but Nunes needs time. And I know I've spoke to quite a few people, and people on Twitter are like, you don't spend that money just to like give them time, do you know what I mean? Like, you need to be throwing Nunes in straight away. But I wouldn't. I'd give them time, like we did like Fabinho and players like that. Give them their time and they'll learn. And I think Klopp likes to shape players into world-class players. Like, I feel like in the summer, if someone would have went, you want Mbappe, then I might have went, yeah, go on. But I feel like Klopp likes, I know we spoke to him, like, but I think Klopp likes to make world-class players, and I'd like to give him the time to do that with Nunes. But for now, I feel like players like Jota and players like Bobby are still really important to keep hold of, and I will give him an extension for a little while.
There's going to be a lot to do next summer, Ian, is what I think. And so if we can get a bit more out of Bobby, then I think the manager would always take it, because obviously they trust him so much, or the coaching staff do. And, you know, I think ideally, a couple more years out of Bobby, and allows you to concentrate on other areas, in particular the midfield, obviously. But I don't know. When I'm watching him recently, I'm just not quite sure he's now at the level that Liverpool need.
I know. I think sometimes maybe you can get a little bit too loyal with some of the players, and I know that maybe sounds a little bit kind of unfair, because, you know, a lot of these guys have gone to the well for us on numerous occasions, Bobby being one, who's played, you know, so many minutes over kind of Klopp's tenure and stuff, and has been so important and integral to the success that this Liverpool team's had. But I do think he's a fading force now. And I know he has the game against Bournemouth, and listen, he's been a world-class footballer, so there will always be games where he'll be able to just to kind of show those flashes again. Mm. So it's not to say that these players can't have good games again for Liverpool Football Club, because they will, but it's, can you deliver consistently when required? But also, what's his attendance record going to be like? Because I think one of the things that's maybe held him back over maybe the last couple of years is maybe just missing more games than what he previously did. I don't think he's hit double figures, John, since 18-19. I think he gets 12, I think, league goals in that season, maybe 9 the season after, and then it's been kind of, you know, less and less. And listen, we know his output at his very best has been more than just goals, but I think if you're going to play up front for Liverpool as well, you have still got to contribute the numbers and stuff. And I don't think in recent times the goals and the assists have quite been at the level you want, but the performances haven't quite been at the level that you want as well. And I think, you know, there are times where maybe he's making it a little bit easier for defences to deal with him, because he's dropping in so deep and he can push up a little bit and just squeeze. And I think Bobby's never going to spin you and go in behind. And I think that's at times just caused us a little bit of a problem. But then you do get the Bournemouth game, and, you know, people absolutely love that performance. And why wouldn't you? Because he was at his best and he enjoyed himself, and he gets the goals. And I think he gets 3 assists that day as well. And it all falls into place, and you can tell he's loving his football. But unfortunately, you don't get to play Bournemouth every week. It would be amazing if you could, but you don't get to play them every week. And I think there's other teams who are far more able to manage him and look after him, in a sense where he's not as kind of key to us as he once was. And I think that's a little bit of a problem. But you know, he's been unbelievable for the club. You know, you don't want to bash him over the head too much, because he's given everything. He's been brilliant. There's been so many world-class performances. There's been other managers who've spoken about him, and you can just tell the way other people wax lyrical about him, how good a footballer and how brilliant he's been. But I think he's 31 now, and I just don't think those powers are quite at the level. And I think, you know, I'm not sure I would be giving them a new deal, but your point around, they're going to have to look at what they need to do, and they might have given themselves a little bit too much, which is why one or two of us have been flapping a bit. So they might have to just base it on that. But I just think, his very, very best days are behind them.
You made a point before, Adam, about how hard it is to play for
miles
your
and
club.
Legs.
And he looks an old 31 to me, and I think that's because, and it's in a way it's praising him, because he has done so much. I mean, you know, we talk about fullback being tough in this Liverpool side, but, you know, to false nine it to the degree that he has, to play as many minutes as he has, he looks an old 31 to me now.
He's the one who I think has played two positions, you know, in one game on many occasions, and it was an issue for me that I thought, I can't remember when it was probably 18-19, and he missed a couple of games, and it was probably the time where we lost the league. I think we drew at Goodison and drew at Old Trafford. He got injured in the Old Trafford game, and I thought then, we can't play without Bobby. There was a real issue there where I thought he can't miss games here, because actually he makes the attack tick, and we can't, another balance thing at that point, we couldn't play without him. And the best thing about last season is that we could play without him. Jota came and we figured it out. We figured out a way that we didn't rely on him, and we kind of didn't need him anymore. So I don't know really, stay or go. But I certainly think that if we are relying on him, that's a problem.
Yeah.
We got to a place last season where we didn't need to rely on him, and it was a real definite positive. It's a huge tick in a box of something that needed to happen and happened. So if we are taking a step back, it's sort of a thing that, which I think people have been saying about Milner. I kind of get the same thing when you see Milner in midfield or you see Firmino starting a tough game. You're like, that's a backward step. This isn't good. So for me, he's like a red flag, really, because there's certain things that I was still have him doing, and I think he could do for any top team. You know, he can come and play them sort of almost legends games type things which you occasionally do get in the league and in the cups. But I do not want us to be relying on him, unfortunately, because I think, as you say, he is an old 31. His legs are much older than that.
But it's because of all the way he's done for the football club. Love him, always be grateful. Yeah. Love you, Bobby, if you're listening. Just go to Brazil and have a nice time, and it'll all be fine. Hope you've enjoyed that. Slightly different show, obviously, with the international break. But next week, we're going to hopefully have a game of football to talk about. I mean, who fucking knows, to be honest with you. But I think the idea at the moment is that they play Brighton on Saturday. So we'll be able to talk about that next Monday. Rumours of Neil Atkinson being back to host that one as well. Aren't you guys lucky? But in the meantime, huge thanks to Abby, to Ian, and to Adam, for Andy, for producing. Up the Reds. Have a lovely week. Sports Social Podcast Network.